Isn't he good this morning? Yes, he is good all the time. If you're a guest of ours, so great to have you here today and worshiping with us. So good to see all of you here. You can go ahead and be seated this morning. And I'm just going to kind of get myself set up here. Oh, it is so good to be in the house of the Lord. It's so good to see all of you. I was telling our worship team in our pre-service meeting, I said, you know, it's so nice. I know over the last year, year and a half, a lot of us, we've seen a lot more service online than we have any other time because of COVID and such. But when you're homesick and you're kind of bummed out and frustrated and the sickness is kind of beating you up a little bit, it is so encouraging to watch a service online, even though you just see mostly the backs of your heads. Brother Tim Knopp, you're getting a little thin. I just want to let you know. Oh, it is so good to be here. We're going to start a series this morning, and I'm going to do my best to go the full 30, 35 minutes or so. If I run out of steam, we'll just stop and pick up next week. But doing a series, and this is just something that is just so simple and basic, but it has such an impact. Sometimes it's the simple things that we do in life, the little things that we do in life, and do them consistently, is what makes a difference. So many times we look at the big, huge splash items that if I could just do this, or if I could do this, and they're big, big, time-consuming, maybe expensive type things to do, that's going to be what makes all the difference in my life. But sometimes it's just doing those little things and doing them consistent every day. So we're going to start a series this morning, and it's just simply building a stronger spiritual life. And I have made the observation, I'm 59 years old, and I've made the observation over the years of my life that I've come to the conclusion that humanity, this culture in which we live in, this culture in which we have created, because we are part of our culture and we are part of creating it, this culture in which we've created, this culture that we have embraced, this culture that it's increasingly leaning toward commercialism. I don't know if you've paid a whole lot of attention, but everything today is commercialized. Everything. I'm amazed at the advertisements now that, I mean, I thought it was illegal that the pharmaceutical companies couldn't advertise on TV and such, but now, man, they got everything advertising. And I mean, if you got an ailment, there's something there that they're advertising. Their medicine is commercialized. If you don't have, I'm an Android phone user, and I know that's a bad name for some of you Apple folk. But if you don't have a certain type of cell phone, you just haven't arrived. I mean, it's buy this, buy that. If you need this type of a car, this type of a clothes, this brand of a clothes, you see this. Companies now, they make it sound like you are a loser and you can't make it through life unless you have their product. Materialism. I watched a little video clip yesterday of a man who has the most expensive, that's what they said now, most expensive house in the world. It's $500 million. It has like a 6-ton marble door that's electric, that when you walk up to it, it senses some kind of a biometric sensor that he's the homeowner, and this big marble slab, kind of like something you'd see in Indiana Jones. This big marble slab just slides over and it opens up into this massive house, and it was like 15,000, 20,000 square feet. I don't know how many swimming pools it had. And he was bragging that he can see like this Los Angeles basin this way and some other basin this way, and he can see the Pacific Ocean this way, and he can see the sun from when it comes up. And I mean, he's going on and on and on about this house. And it's everything is just materialistic. And where does it end? Where does all of this end? We talk about secularism. We talk about how humanity has become. We have literally become our greatest worshipers. We call this humanism. We worship ourselves. And there's a consistent rise in self-worship, and you go on some of these websites and social media sites, and everything on them is about me. It's about me. Worship me. Follow me. Like me. Everything revolves around me. So as a Christian, we have to live, we have to navigate, we have to survive And yes, I believe we can flourish, but it may be a challenge to do so. It's good to see Bishop here. Of course, Bishop's probably thinking it's good to see Pastor here today, but good to see you. So if we properly learn how to live our lives according to biblical principles, thus as a Christian, what is a Christian? A Christian is one who is to be Christ-like. I see a lot of people today saying that they're Christians, but they're living a very different. I can't believe how many Christians, we're mostly adults in here this morning. I can't believe how many Christians on social media drop the F-bomb. This boggles my mind. They'll go through a whole scripture and they'll talk about all this and they're like, if you don't agree with this or believe with this or whatever, then Hawaiian good luck sign. It's like, wait a minute here. Can you just imagine Jesus for a minute having a disagreement with the Pharisees and then all of a sudden just starts off with a string of profanity? I just don't see that. I just don't see. So Christians, we are to be Christ-like. And it's not always easy. It can be a real challenge at times to keep our soul properly nourished. Did you know that? How many of you struggle with that from time to time? It's an everyday struggle. Because we have flesh. We are human beings. We have flesh. And we struggle. So it's not always easy to keep your heart, it's not always easy to keep your mind, and it's not always easy to keep your soul focused on the things of God. So the challenge that we face in the day that we live is when times are not hospitable for spiritual growth, how do we nurture? How do we properly feed? How do we heal? Christians can have hurts. We can have things that happen to us that we need healing. We had a last week with Brother Hanscom here, the whole entire sanctuary was one big, huge prayer line because people need healing, not just always physical healing, but sometimes they need a spiritual healing. They need a mental. I don't want to just drag in. I just struggled over the last 4 weeks with a pretty hardcore case of COVID, and boy, it can mess with your mind. It can mess with your mind in a big way. And it's like, Lord, I'm agitated, I'm frustrated, I'm all kinds of things right now, and I need a renewing. I don't need just you to touch my heart and my lungs and everything else, but I need my mind renewed in all of this. So we have to know how to nurture, how to feed, how to heal, how to restore and renew our heart, our mind, and our soul. So we're going to read today our passage, and it's a very simple passage. We've read this probably many times. You're very familiar with this. It's in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24 through 37, or 24 through 27, excuse me. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I like it when Jesus, it's so neat how he lays out a parable. He says, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. That's like saying, son, if you hear what I'm saying and you do it, you're going to become a lot smarter as a result of it. I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And we're talking about building a stronger spiritual life. And one of the most important aspects of building a stronger spiritual life is starting off with your life on a firm foundation. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. You see, we have two houses here. We have a house built on a rock and a house built on the sand, and the same storm comes. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, I've worked in construction for almost 25 years of my life, and I will tell you this. I have dug a lot of groundworks. As a plumber, when you dig, you put all the underground plumbing in the basement. You have to go in. You have to dig where all your pipes are going to go. You trench it all out with a shovel and a pick, most of it. And I have dug some rocky, rocky, rocky groundworks. We've had some rocks, Brother Jeff Rossing and I worked together. We've had some rocks that were so big we had to dig a hole under the rock and slowly sink the rock, because where we had to run our pipe, this rock just happened to be there. And you're spending hours trying to sink this rock. Now you can show up on a nice commercial job. And I used to do a lot of work up in the Portage and Partyville area, and everything up there was sand. And you could go dig a groundwork in 35, 40 minutes. You'd be done. But see, the problem with sand versus rock, if you're digging in a lot of rocky area, you don't have much problem with your ditches collapsing. You ever dig? I did a groundwork once where the guy thought it would be a good idea to backfill with pea gravel. You ever try digging out a trench in pea gravel? It just keeps coming and keeps falling in, and sand with a sandy foundation. You just kneel on the edge of the ditch and it collapses in. So here you have two people, two individuals that are going to build their life. And one says, I want to build it on a rock foundation, and I want to attach my house to the rock. And the other guy says, you know, it's a whole lot faster to build it on sand. I mean, I can have this foundation in here in no time at all. But you see, the problem is when the storm comes, when life begins to happen, and life happens, trust me, it's going to happen. And the winds blow and the rains come. Doesn't take much to wash out a sand foundation. It's pretty hard to wash out a rock foundation. The same wind, the same rain, the same flood. It's just different builders. Different builders. We're talking about building a stronger spiritual life. So let's begin this morning. The first step, this very first step, is very significant when it comes to keeping one's spiritual life in constant renewal. As many of you know, I have built in my backyard a natural koi swim pond. Now, some of you have been to my house and you've seen it. It took me almost 5 years to build this pond. It's not a little pond. It is a natural swim pond to where it's 6 feet deep at one end and 3.5 feet deep at the other. It's about 75,000 gallons of water fits in this pond. And I've had an interest in koi fish for some 20 years now, and I've built many smaller ponds. I've had some very small. The first koi pond I built was when we lived on Garden Court, and it was about 6 inches deep, and I built it out of a couple sacks of crete, of mortar mix. And for re-rod, I used coat hangers because that's all I had. Put a whole bunch of coat hangers in there and cemented it and put my koi in there. And within a few weeks, they were all gone. And I was mowing the grass one day, and I'm wondering where my fish are, and I saw them kind of scattered around 15, 20 feet away from the pond, and I figured that probably a raccoon of some sort got in there, because 6 inches of water is not a whole lot to protect the fish. So I built many smaller koi ponds, and every koi pond that I've ever built has kind of fallen short of my lifelong dream of having a large swimming pond with koi in it. Now, I did a lot of research before I started this project. I studied out the ways in which one goes about such a project, and I had to balance the time that I thought it was going to take with the money and the materials needed, and also, I've never done anything like this before, so I had to make sure that I had the skill level in order to start it and also finish the project. So in this process of designing and building, one concept kept coming up over and over and over, and it had to do with the design of your koi pond. Now, I'm not just talking about koi ponds this morning, but this is a very simple spiritual application to this, and that is that you have to build your pond. As you think of your pond, you have to build your pond as it were a river and not a swamp. You getting this? Okay, meaning that running water is going to keep away the algae that grows. It's going to keep away the weeds, as well as have the ability to move and transfer impurities, as well as move and transfer nutrients. So as I began to develop a plan, it kind of hit me that this design is really a lot like our lives. And the most important step in building a stronger spiritual life is allow your life to become a river, not a swamp. You see, the Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 38, rivers of living water will flow from the heart of those who believe in me. Remember, it's the mountain streams that carries the fresh, life-giving water, because the water flows out. It melts off of the mountaintops. It flows down into the streams, into the larger streams, into the rivers, all the way into the reservoirs. And the water is released out of the reservoirs into the cities and such in which it feeds. So a swamp, understand, is stagnant. It's life devouring. Now there's life in swamps, but it's a different type of a life. If you walk through a swamp or you get stuck in a swamp and you're down there and you're walking through that ooze and the gooze, and it begins to, everywhere you walk, there's this big cloud of muck that's following you, and you reach your hand down in and you pull out some of the vegetation, some of the cattails or lilies, and you smell the debris or the dirt or the muck, and it has a stench to it. Why is that? It's because everything flows in and nothing flows out. So a swamp collects and retains. Don't be the kind of person who seeks to accumulate so much before allowing a little bit to flow through. So many times as Christians, we want to maintain or we want to have a stronger spiritual life. But the problem that it is with us is we have all of this water. We have all of this vegetation, this life. But everything that flows in stays in and nothing flows out. So over a period of time, we begin to stagnate. We begin to stink. because everything is coming in and nothing is going out, and the same thing is with our lives. As Christians, did you know God blesses us so we can bless others? Did you know that? So many times we think God blesses us because I need it. And I'm not going to share it, or I'm not going to give it to anyone else. That's what happens to swamps. You see, as a Christian, we can get blessed and we can have good, clear, flowing water. And as we become blessed, we stop sharing, we stop giving out of our excess, and we begin to impede the flow of water in our lives. You see, we are to let blessings flow through us and on to others. When we hoard God's blessings, they will eventually plug us up. You ever think of that? They plug us up, much like a dam that holds back water. Thus, the blessings in our lives, we become in endangerment, or become in danger of becoming spiritually stagnant. This is why that getting involved in ministry opens the blessings door, thus allowing God to flow through us as we were designed to be. We were not designed to be a warehouse. God designed us to be a distribution center. A big difference. A river versus a swamp. So the question we have to ask ourselves, am I mission focused? Am I mission focused? Or am I inward focused? Is it church, my brothers and sisters, or is it all about what do I get out of it? A while back, we had a gentleman stop by this church, and he was looking to bring his family to a church, but he wanted to bring them to a church that shared. And I said, well, shared. I said, what exactly do you mean by sharing? Well, you know, we want to go to a church, a giving church. And after talking with him, I found out that he wanted me at that time to give him his first month's rent, his last month's rent, and his security deposit, and then a little bit of grocery money. And when I said, I can't do that, he didn't know if he wanted to bring his family to a church that wouldn't give. So, you see, the problem is he's become a swamp. You see, what's in it for me? I'll go to this church, but what do I get? What do I get for it? You see, mature Christians are growing Christians like a river. We must resolve to break up the dam in our lives and let God's blessings flow through us. Oh, and in this whole process, back to my koi pond, I designed my koi pond so that the water flowed in and flowed across and flowed out. And I don't have gravity to, I can't design a system that the water naturally flows in a circle without having to use pumps. So I have a pump, but the pump, it pumps about 10,000 gallons every hour. It's a lot of water. And you know, I have very little, if any, algae growth in my pond. It's very clean. The leaves fall off the trees, and the pine needles fall off all the pine trees. They fall into the pond, and everything is just washed right out. Flushed right out. It amazes me. I'm like, Lord, I'm amazed at how well this thing filters and works. Glad somebody out there figured it out so I could just copy them. But we must resolve to break up the dams in our life and let God's blessings flow like a river, because there is freshness in the flow. Next point I want to make is identify the blessings in our lives. So many times in life, and I hear this a lot more over the last year and a half than I probably have heard for decades, but so many times in life we complain about how rough we have it. I recently listened to a man. He was given a speech, and he was not a minister, but he was talking about how good we as Americans have it. Now, we look at it and we complain because we don't have everything we want. But he talked about our blessings, and he began to talk about the weekends, how that every weekend our interstates fill up with boats and campers and jet skis and four-wheelers and ATVs and all kinds of things. And people are heading out of town for the weekend. They worked hard all week. They load up the pontoon boat. Nothing wrong with having a pontoon boat. Nothing wrong with having a camper. Nothing wrong with having any of these things. But you see, we have our boats, our campers, our cabins, our cars, and some families have 3, 4, and 5 cars. My wife and I, there's just 2 of us, and we have 5 vehicles. Only one of them's mine. I'm just joking. My wife's over there counting. Maybe we only have 4 now. 4, okay. You see, but yet in all of this, we are so unwilling at times to actually acknowledge the blessings of God in our lives. We can be dry. I heard a comedian. I thought it was so great. He said, you ever listen to people talk about their flight? You know, I just flew from Atlanta to Madison, and it was the most horrible flight ever. It was horrible. 15 minutes late getting out of the gate. We got here, and we had to wait for our luggage. And this guy began to expound on it, and he said, imagine you're flying at 28,000 feet, 500 miles an hour. A trip that used to take months or years is taking you a few hours. You're flying in an air-conditioned plane, being served a chicken salad dinner, drinking a Sprite, being able to go to the bathroom at 28,000 feet in the sky. And we're going to complain because it was 15 minutes late. How dare Southwest Airlines? 15 minutes of my life I'll never get back. Try walking from Atlanta to Madison once. I'll see you in February. But we think about these things, and we live in a society that we have become obsessed with being disgruntled about everything in life. Too many times we go through life, we are oblivious to the good things that are flowing into our lives. So I want to challenge you today, as I close this out, I want to challenge you. I ran across this devotion, and it's a good spiritual exercise. I tried this on my own, and it is something that you can do. So I want you to, if you have a notepad, and just write this down. At the end of the first day, which Monday will be our starting day on this, we're talking about blessings. Monday, I want you to identify a blessing that came to you from a family member. So maybe a mom or a dad or an aunt or an uncle blessed you with something. I'm not talking about a Christmas present necessarily. But maybe you had an aunt or an uncle that you had a need, or had a brother or a sister. Just any family member. Identify a blessing that came to you from a family member. On Tuesday, a blessing that came to you from a neighbor. A neighbor. Our neighbor blesses us with sweet corn and squash. He's got a sign out down the road. He's got a big, huge garden. He's got a big pile of squash, and it just says free. I think he's hinting to all the neighbors, stop by and pick up some squash. I got too many. So, a blessing from a neighbor. Then, on Wednesday, a blessing from a friend. Have you ever had a good friend bless you? On Thursday, how about a blessing from someone that you work with? Someone at work. And as the week goes on, it gets a little more challenging, because on Friday, I want you to try to think of a blessing from a total stranger. Ever been somewhere and been short a little bit of money? Whatever it may be, on vacation and your car breaks down and God blesses you through a total stranger. My wife and I were traveling out west a few years back, and we had a couple that we ran into at a campground, and they were driving in a very remote part of the desert, and they had a flat tire on their camper, and a carload of gentlemen in a pickup truck. He said two people inside the truck and two guys sitting in the back of the pickup truck, pretty burly guys, pulled over, and they were like, oh no, what's going to happen here? They said they never said a word. They got out their own jack, they jacked our camper up, took our spare tire off, put it on it, took the spare tire we had, put it in the back of our pickup truck, and said, have a good day. That's what you call a blessing from a stranger. And then Saturday, ever been blessed by a child? Your children. And then on next Sunday, and this is going to be a challenge on next Sunday, have you ever had someone that you knew didn't like you? Someone you may consider to be an adversary in your life, surprise you and bless you. So Monday, blessings from a family member. Tuesday, blessing from a neighbor. Wednesday, from a friend. Thursday, from a work colleague. Friday, from a stranger. Saturday, from a child. And Sunday, from someone that's adversarial or an enemy, or you would consider perhaps an enemy in your life. So let's stand. I want to be a stronger, more productive Christian. And in order to be a stronger, more productive Christian, I have to allow the principles that are within the Word of God to flow through my life like a river, not like a swamp. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Lord, I pray, God, that the power of your Spirit, your Holy Ghost, would be able to flow through us like a river, like rivers of living water. God, I don't want to become stagnant. I don't want to become stinky. I don't want to become a smelly swamp that's just nothing but a quagmire. Lord, I pray, God, that your hand would be upon each and every one of my brothers and sisters that are here. That you would help us, Lord, to just allow your Spirit to flow through us so we can build a stronger spiritual life, so we can stand up against the storms, against the trials, against the battles of life. I want to build my life on your word, the rock. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. We have a break until 11 o'clock. If you have children over in the children's wing, feel free to go pick them up. And we will be back. Brother James Hawk is going to be preaching this morning for us. God bless you.